You're listening to the Unreasonable Fridays Podcast Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of ADD Space. In theory, if you can count an announcement, an explanation as an episode. So we have not been on for about 3 weeks to a month or so. Are here to explain ourselves. Nothing too terrible, but still things. Actually good things, not terrible things. Nobody's stricken. Nobody's been struck down. No calamity.
I am not, I'm chronically ill all the time, but I'm not actually sick this time.
Man, you're just a busy school person.
I'm going to school full time, and I had midterms to finals.
Yeah, you full time student with chronic fatigue syndrome. So, that leaves precious little time for anything else but schoolwork, and precious little energy for the schoolwork itself. Mostly just understand that anyone who pays for the Patreon. Paid directly for food and coffee, for bacon, during this very stressful period in their life.
I use that too. I couldn't even cook.
Of course not.
I was out. Gone. Listen, it was just finals.
Listen, once you make the decision to try and better your life out of rhythm, then you cannot do the other 14 things that the society deems you're supposed to be able to do. Keeping your house perfectly clean, out. Cooking every day, out. Proper rest, out. Out. So yeah, totally makes sense. Totally reasonable. We will be back in April. We're already queuing up episodes once Bacon is now in the recovery stages of having finals and exams, papers, journals. What was going on?
I had a positional paper and an ethics position paper for my ethics class, and I had a project. I had a presentation for political science, and then I had an essay exam for political science, and then I had some late schoolwork I needed to get in for both classes while also getting in current schoolwork, because they continue to give you current schoolwork while you have finals.
Yeah.
I didn't raid for 2 weeks either. I said, I have to skip.
Yeah, that's a maximum adulting when there is no gaming to be had.
I was crying.
I am in the midst right now of just doing, like, I'm actively doing schoolwork myself. I'm not taking a full course schedule like Bacon, but I'm working and going to school, and I realize that, like, Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be a long-term problem. Nothing simulates the feeling of being loading your game and walking out of a subway onto a New York City street like Dragon's Dogma 2. Like, I was playing and I said, okay, cool, I guess I'll just walk around for 15 minutes to give myself a break. I left my hut. Two characters were like, listen, my man is lost in the mountains. Can you bring him these supplies? And I was like, sure. And somebody was like, listen, my cousin, he went down to the forest. And I think there's stories of a bear. It might have attacked him. I haven't heard from him in a week. I'm like, I got you. And then my pawn is like, arisen. I found this treasure over the other side of the hill. And takes off running. Because I set it to be impulsive. I set my pawn to be impulsive. So my son was like, I found a treasure chest, and takes off sprinting, so I have to run after my pawn. And I literally just woke up and stepped out of the inn. And then another pawn is, like, offering its services so you can have full party. And I was like, absolutely the fuck not, and turned it off. Absolutely the fuck not. But we will talk about Dragon's Dogma next episode. But that's neither here nor there. Just wanted to let everybody know that we are alive. We are well. I am going to put out a... We reviewed Thirsty Suitors moons ago. Well, Najayla and Bacon reviewed Thirsty Suitors moons ago. So there will be that as an older episode, evergreen from a few weeks ago. We're going to put that on. We will be back with fresh episodes and videos in April. April 5th is the soonest we have been booked to record. And yeah, thank you guys for being patient with us. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. And yeah, anything you want to add, Bacon? Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another episode of ADD Space. I'm your host, Aaron Ranfreeman, but with me, the actual host, the CEO, CFO, head lead designer, head custodian, architect, travel czar, social media maven, lead therapist, Bacon. Bacon, how are you? And also with us, we have Najayla Reed. Najayla Reed, how are you?
I'm incensed.
Good. We have a shorter show, so we're going real fast. Why are you mad?
So, okay, my parents, I bought them a TV when I actually was a cubicle Negro and I actually had real money. And that this was back in 2018, so not that long ago. Bought them a very nice Samsung television. Fast forward to this weekend. My little cousins came over. They brought their PlayStation 5. It wouldn't connect to said TV from 2018. So we used the technology in the TV to have someone call us to help us connect it. You know what they told me? They said because this TV was manufactured before the PlayStation was created, it will not connect to it. But they will give us a discount on a new TV.
That doesn't sound right.
Does your TV we not have an even older Samsung TV from like 2015 downstairs in our home, which does not have as many fancy doodads as this one. The PlayStation connects to it just fine.
Right.
They literally made it so you have a drop-down list of things to connect to. And if PlayStation isn't on there, they just tell you to buy a whole new TV.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right.
It's a scam.
That sounds like a scam on everyone's part. Also, I can't imagine how is that, like, I don't understand. Because, like, you can plug, as long as there's an HDMI wire going from one thing to the other, you can get an image on it, I thought, in the world.
What? No, because what this TV does... So when it connects to a gaming console or a computer or whatever, it wants to turn on the TV or turn on the thing that's connected to it itself instead of just, you know, it you just put the source in and then if it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not. No, you have to do it so that when you go to the source, it says, okay, I know this is a game console, so I will be turning this on for you right now. And that's how my Xbox One works. So that one works fine because, you know, it was manufactured when the TV was manufactured. But here's the thing. This TV is remotely updated. It's a smart TV. It's connected to the internet. Why haven't they just pulled out a firmware update that adds new consoles so it can turn it on? They just decided, well, instead of doing that, which would help all consumers, we're just going to make consumers buy whole new televisions. And that's bullshit.
That's and fucking
I'm
annoying.
Incensed, I'm angry, and I refuse to purchase a new TV.
Well, that's not the answer.
No new TVs ever.
Listen, is not always better.
If we are, and this goes back to other issues we've discussed on the program. If we are to grow as people, we are to not make the mistakes of our ancestors, which is forsaking entire swaths of Best Buy because one item does not work the way we intended. It's important that we grow as people and get the model number of that specific television.
That's how they get you. They're making new stuff, and they're telling you how you
can do it. Officially old and black.
And I, for one, will not be pushed around.
There is no conversation destroyer more than that's how they get you. It's over. And then it might as well hit the person with a chair in the middle of the conversation and drive away. Like, the conversation is over.
Give you a rocking chair,
it's
grandma.
Over.
And
a warm blanket.
So upset because they have the tech. Literally, it's like it's a pretty cool TV. So when there's something wrong with it and they see that you're having trouble, they'd be like, "Hey, put in your phone number so we can send you a link." And when I clicked that link on my phone, it opened my camera so I could video call with a tech agent so he could see everything I was doing. So it has the technology to do that and troubleshoot remotely, both on my phone and on the TV, but I can't play a console on it? That's intentional. And I'm not going to, reward poor behavior. And that's what would happen if I buy a new TV.
You could buy a TV from someone else. Several hundred people make TVs, including myself, in my garage. Would you like to buy one of an Unreasonable Friday brand television?
If it doesn't have that ridiculousness built in where they're trying to steal my money.
No.
By saying, you have a new console? I guess you have to buy a whole new television. They know that you're going to have consoles. They know you're going to hook up your TV to stuff.
I feel like there is a hole somewhere in this. Is that Samsung television?
It is a Samsung television.
Okay, we will return to this because this is a wild...
I can give you the model number. I can give you everything. We bought it in 2018, which is not that far away for a TV.
It was 5 years ago. As long as there are HDMI inputs, it should be fine. That's why I'm fascinated by this story. This is the best story I've ever heard. We will follow up.
Also, the TV when I bought it said it was 4K. But then when I looked up the model number, it actually simulates 4K. Why would you put 4K on the box if it's not really 4K? You sold me lies. Lies, Samsung.
Yeah, that's
I'm not gonna sit here and take it and act like it's okay because it's not. Incensed, I say. Incensed.
Bacon. How are you?
Hi.
Are you good?
Hi.
You good? All right. What's up?
I'm here.
What are we doing?
Hi.
What are we doing? Okay, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's a fast show. It's a short show. Bacon, what's going on? What do we got? What's happening? Bacon. 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 I think I ran bacon off. Anyway.
For the listeners, I just turned off my webcam.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
Well, we could talk about the game I did get to play. Because I could not play what my little cousin wanted to show me, that very excited about. So, Samsung broke a child's heart. With
that poor child's having a lot of heartbreak.
I have so many follow-up questions. There is no way this does not make it to the internet. If there's a whole string of TVs that won't play PlayStation 5s in 2024, there's no way it doesn't make it to the internet. There's no way. All we do are hate things on the internet now.
I want this to make it to the internet. I want a written apology from Samsung for their lies, for their misdirection, for making some poor person on the other side of the planet. He was ashamed to try to tell me that I should buy a new TV because they're forcing him to say that. He didn't want to say that to me. He was a good guy, just trying to help me. And he knew when that call started where it was going, and he loathed it. He loathed it. I could sense it. I could sense the shame.
I mean, as a former scammer, yeah, it does suck to have to. I used to go door to door in New York and sell upscaled utilities to people. And if you were on Con Edison, I would have like your electricity go through like some other like provider that charged you. Only time it charged you less is when you were in upstate New York. But if you were in the five boroughs, it was a marked increase. And we had to go and scam so many fucking people. And I believe it's out of business now. So fuck them. I hope so. But yeah, we used to we it is not fun to scam for a living. Believe you me, it is. Yeah. As a person, I enjoy talking to people and selling them stuff, but upselling people on their utilities in an expensive city, not optimal.
And he knew he had to ask me to take a survey. And I felt terrible because I had to tell the truth. No, my issue wasn't resolved, but it was not the fault of your employee. It is Samsung's fault. It is your fault. So don't you dare penalize that young man for your sins, Samsung. He was courteous. He was trying to help, but he can't, you know, he had no power to right the wrong that he was witnessing.
Also, in the interest of expediency.
Oh, yes. The game that I actually got to play.
That's right.
I got to replay through. Damn it. No, why can't I remember the name of the damn game?
Replay or played for the first time?
I played it again because 2 weeks ago or two shows ago, we were supposed to talk about it.
Thirsty Suitors?
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Sorry.
Who are we? Where are we? What are we doing here?
We're talking about Thirsty Suitors, which is on Game Pass. And yes, I encourage so many people to play this game.
This game that has the worst product description ever.
What does it say?
Okay, so it's not the fault of the people who created the game. This is all, well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know who writes the synopsis on Steam and Game Pass, etc. But the synopsis basically goes like, fight, like, it basically is a too long didn't read, go back home, fight your exes, have resolutions. And I'm like, that is not a good description of what this game is.
I mean, on the most surface level, I could get why they use that description. But it is a child of immigrants trauma simulator.
It is honestly not even just, but yes, it is definitely. If you are queer, if you are a person of color, if you come from an immigrant family, if you had a early 20s time of your life that you don't talk about with literally anybody, here is your game.
It's exposure therapy.
It is 100% exposure therapy. All the traumas
that you've tried to bury deep. I think I have like 12 hours in this game. It is something that you can beat in a sitting.
Easily. Yeah. I think it's
it
like,
is very fun. But I think I would have had probably less time because of the crying. It was one of the few games that did just reduce me to so many tears, and not at the points that you think where the game is like trying to tug at your heartstrings. So there's a couple of very cool mechanics in this game. It is a game where you have to like fight suitors, and it is turn-based combat. Very silly. You can summon Bollywood. Your mom. Yes, it's very Bollywood. You can summon your mom to beat your opponents with a slipper.
This game is where I realized that the chancla is universal.
It is.
Like worldwide, like we have the house shoe, and then for my Spanish speaking friends, it's the chancla. I don't remember what they called it in Hindi.
But like, yeah, you literally could call your mom and she is huge and then smacks them down with her slipper. I loved it. But there's another mechanic that I thought was great, which is you have to cook with your mother.
Or your father.
I cooked with the dad way more than I cooked with the mom, if I could muster it, because there is one point where I tried my hardest, which is, you know, I don't have my hands are not what they used to be. So doing a lot of the quick time kind of stuff, it's very hard for me. And I did like my best. My hands are like throbbing because I'm trying so hard. And I finally got like 3 out of 10 stars. And the mom character was like, oh, so you expect me to congratulate you for this mediocrity? It cut me so deep, I just started crying. Like, my mom was like, what happened? Like, she thought somebody died. Like, I was sobbing. Like, it was one of those things, it just pressed a button that I had not known I had buried that deep.
So there are several themes of this game, and in an 8 to 20 hours, if you're a perfectionist kind of player, it manages to throw all of these themes at you in a really well done way. One of them is intergenerational trauma, and and it's not even just like you're playing a character named Jala, and
which is also very hard because
Jala, Nadila.
Yeah, it was very close. It's like, wow. So you just really left your girlfriend high and dry. It's real heartless, Jayla. And I'm like, hey, I'm still not over that. Like, can we
hold on, pause, hold that thought. Jill, can you turn the gain down on your mic? It's super hot now that you're using your radio voice and leaning into it.
So, okay, gain.
Keep talking.
Better?
Yeah, better. There you go.
Okay, yeah. So there were times where I literally just had to take a break. Take a travel break, because so basically the main character is coming back to her hometown after skipping town with like an older lover who then left them,
kicked them out of their place, broke up with her, and then kicked her out of their place, and so she had to go back home.
Yes. Which is something I know how that feels.
Same, actually.
But it was very weird because, like, at one part of me is like, oh, this is like my traumas, like through and through. But then another part of me is like, she has like dream parents. Like, I would kill to have the parents in this game because they're like, oh, like, we totally accepted your trans girlfriend to the point where like we're closer to her than we are to you because we want everybody to have community. The fact that the main character was like, ah, my parents don't understand. I'm like, do you see how lucky you are? If I could reach into a video game and shake a bitch, I would. Because, like,
well, it was, I kind of get it too. Because, like, so part of it, one of the issues is like, so like, Jala's parents are, they are immigrants, they came over. Their marriage was not approved by anybody. And they completely started a new life in the States away from their families and also had to work through stuff that they had. And some of that did get passed on to their children. But also, like, they also want to do the right thing and do good things. So, like, they become, like, they become almost, what is it, like, when you basically, they basically come, like, community parents to, like, all the queer kids in this town.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they're not having that relationship with their own children.
No.
And that's part of the issue.
Yes. But I still, like,
but yes,
there is a part of me, I guess because, like, I'm a bit older, so, like, just to see, you know, people that sound like the aunties in my family saying things like, you know, just saying supportive things to gay people, that was healing a wound while the game was simultaneously making me feel terrible about every decision I made in my 20s.
Right. They're like, here's like all that stuff you don't want to think or talk about. Let's rip it open and examine it closely through these 5 story arcs.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a game that, like, you will play it on raw emotions if you're from certain groups.
your
heart will be on your sleeve eventually.
100%. And it really does have a focus on like queer immigrant experiences. Although if you are not it from an immigrant background, there's still stuff that will catch you. I got caught on NDLE.
Yeah. For me, it was crazy because I'm like, oh, you're back home and you feel bad because you're like in your early 20s. Try doing that at 40, bitch.
Oh, God.
So half the time I'm like playing the game and I'm just like, I wish I crawled back home to my parents in my 20s. Some things might have turned out different. Not that I had, you know, these magical, super progressive immigrant parents. So it's half the time I'm like, the parents are so cutting that I'm like, oh, did like my mother record these voice lines? But then other times they're like, who are these like progressive angels, this aspirational ass parents that they have?
I know. Yeah, that was actually a thing that I identified with because I have a relationship with my mother. But like my mother is a teacher, and she like was very close to her students, and so the kind of relationship that she had with her students was much different than the kind of relationship that I have with her. So there was a lot of things in, yeah, in that regard. So when Jala was just like, I was just like, ah, yes, when your parents aren't like, they know the thing, they know the right thing to say to other people, and they can't do that to you. And I'm like,
yeah. I think that's so much worse in a lot of ways than if your parents were just general assholes across the board.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, my parents are a dick. And I'm like, right.
Well, it's like you don't have that thing of, oh, well, they just don't know better. And I think that's something that, you know, the kids of immigrants said, you know, if you're just from a place that you always have this thing where you go, oh, well, they just don't know any better because, you know, they're not from here. Society is different here. But when you see them actively do the thing that they should be doing to you, it's just like, oh, they're just like choosing not to.
Yeah, that it's a whole head trip. It's like, what is the difference? Why is this happening?
And you're just like, oh, okay. I guess that's what we're doing.
The worst part was, Nadella, when I was playing this game, I was visiting my parents.
Yikes. Well, I am living with my parents.
You live there. I was like, so I would go up and have like a conversation with my mom that did not go, or like either of my parents, so I would go upstairs to have a conversation with my family that did not go the way that I was hoping it would, and then come down and play Thirsty Suitors and just be like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like at the end of every night, your character will like watch TV with their dad. I'm just like, I wish I could do that. Then I'm like, you literally could do that. You're not going to. It's like your dad is downstairs. You could just watch TV with him. I was like, oh, but I'm not. but what is very funny is I also share the game to my brother, and we have a similar amount of playing time, but he has not beaten the game yet, and that is because he is super good at the cooking mini game, so he's just been playing the cooking mini game. So so somebody's proud of him.
I was about to say, is he farming parental approval?
Yes. Your brother's farming parental approval.
He has the achievement for like making every meal in the game perfectly.
Oh yeah, okay, listen, I did the same.
So for me, like, I think the reason why I like beat the game so fast is because I was like, I cannot be cooking any more of these meals. If this woman cuts me down one more time, like, it's gonna be my 13th reason. Let me just get through this.
There are accessibility settings. I don't know if you took a look at that.
I did not.
Yeah, the game does have accessibility settings, and I think they have ones that help with the QuickTime events. Because the skateboarding is also a QuickTime event, and they do have accessibility settings for the skateboarding.
You might also just want to explain to the audience what you do in the game, even though you do 11 things. You still have to, you know.
So basically, you're, like we said, she's, you know, coming back to her hometown with her tail between her legs because her relationship did not work out. She screwed over her best friend slash, like, first love.
On and off again relationship buddy. Yeah.
The person she's been stringing along because she's an a-hole, basically.
They are both awful.
That is one thing that I did like about this game. A lot of times we have this, like, narratives where we're, like, vilifying your ex. Was like, no, she had some growing up that she needed to
do. Yeah, like, first off, Jala had growing up to do. And also, they should have never gotten back together and broken up and gotten back together and broken up, like, 18,000 times.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what's happening there, but both of you need to stop that.
But to, like, get back in good graces with, like, your, you know, I guess your bottom bitch, you're trying to liberate the skate park from a cult leader.
That's the weird part.
Okay. It is very weird. Okay. Also, spoiler, that doesn't really get resolved. There is just a cult leader in this town.
I'm waiting for DLC.
Yeah. So,
yeah, part of what you're doing when you when Jala comes back is Jala is trying to make up for all of their past mistakes, which is also what the combat system is. It's the fighting your exes or your suitors. You're not actually really fighting them so much as you are having an internal battle as a like a way to hash it out. It's the tension that occurs when you have a face-to-face with somebody who you need to have resolution with.
Yes.
And because this is a small town, to come back to this small town, it is required to have resolution or it's just not going to work. And in some cases, Jala is 100% at fault. In some cases, it's just messy. Like, there's not a good anything. And in some cases, it's Jala who didn't actually do anything wrong. There's this guy who had a crush on Jala since they were children. Jala has never been interested. Jala has never strung him along. He will not let it go.
Yeah, he was like, oh, but in first grade, I'm like, I'm coming. Like, they're asking about college. I'm like, dude, you gotta let that go.
I'm like, right. Like, this is, I don't have enough no's to happen. But, like, in each one of those characters, though, they also have their own issues. So part of it is you're literally acting out this mental battle of the to, like, come to a resolution and be friends. And the nice, and, like, they do kind of, there is kind of, like, in the description of the game, it's kind of framed as, like, it could be a dating sim. It's not. There's no dating sim. And that's great. If there was, I would actually, I don't know if I'd like it as much. But the fact that there is, like, we're not dating at the end of this resolution.
And they should not be.
And they should,
people should not be together.
And you can still flirt with them though, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, you can still flirt and stuff, but there's clearly like we need to work our shit out before we do so. But you also have like these battles, like these relationship stuff with also your parents and your family, because like Jala has stuff that they have to work out also with their family.
Yeah, because her sister doesn't want to talk to her.
Her sister does not want to talk to her for valid reasons. although at some point it was like, okay, you need to communicate, sister.
But I could see why. It's her wedding and she's like, I don't need you and your drama at my wedding. And I did not fault her for that.
No, I didn't fault her for that. That wasn't the part I didn't fault. I was faulting her for, like, at all. I thought that was very valid. The thing that I was faulting her for was she, one, clearly knew that a conversation was going to have to happen and did not give a timeline for that conversation. Yeah,
but I also feel like if I'm planning my wedding, like, I don't want to deal with you.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
So, again, a valid thing. But if somebody is coming up to you and is trying to talk to you, you can just say, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you right now, which eventually she did.
Yeah.
I think she should have started with that. That's all.
Yeah. Because I what I did love about how the narrative is handled, it is very much saying, like, in real life, nobody's the main character. So, like, literally we're all dealing with our stuff, and you have to respect that. So if your sister is trying to plan her wedding, and it's like you've never even met the person because you dipped out, you know, I would give them space. I was just like, hey, let's, like, the game was like, go look for your sister. And I was like, can I not do that? Like, did I just respect her boundaries?
I just was like, I'm not going to find her. But, like, your parents are also go find your sister and apologize. And it's just I don't, there's nothing I can do about this.
If I ruined her lifelong friendship by dating her friend, I don't care how much roti you make me. Like, I don't want to talk to you right now. Like, but I do love how, you know, they tell you, like, the history of the food. Because some of the food I was very familiar with because it is stuff that we eat in my culture as well. But there's other foods, like, I've never heard of. But, like, you bet your ass, like, I've looked up recipes because, like, I need to eat that. I need to eat that right now.
Right. Well, the thing is, though, is that, I mean, the thing is, too, is that their parents come from two completely different cultures.
Yes.
Like, so, like, I think the mom's Sri Lankan, and then the father
dad was Sri Lankan.
The father is Sri Lankan, and then
the mother is Indian. So,
the,
like,
mother's Indian.
Which was even harder for me because, like, the dad was way more supportive when you're cooking. So that was, like, all the food that I was pretty unfamiliar with. But then, like, the food from, like, my culture, I was basically like, you're terrible at this. You're being very mediocre. Are you even trying? And I'm just like,
I'm so sorry. I'm disappointing you.
Yeah, the thing with the cooking simulator too is there's a mechanic in it that I thought was really funny because you have cooking is a whole mini game system.
Yeah.
But there's a part of it where you can compliment your parents. And so one of the things is like immigrant parents is like complimenting an immigrant parents, like gambling. So there's actually a whole spinning wheel of different options that pop up and they're just standing there with their arms crossed.
Yeah, the way I did that twice and I got two bad options and never did it again.
No, I got both. Like some of if you land on the bad options are pretty scathing.
Yes. Which is why I was like, I did it with mom and it failed and it was horrible. And I did it with the dad and failed. He was like, oh well, you know, he wasn't that bad. Like she has this like dream dad.
The mom sees through all of your bullshit. Yes. It's just, I mean, the dad sees through your bullshit too, but he like is just like
he's giving so much grace.
he's clearly giving grace, but if you like hear the stories of the dad, like it makes sense. He's just that kind of guy. The lesbian aunt is great.
Yeah, I just love the fact it's like this, you know, community elder that's like, hey, you're queer, come to my skateboard shop and you can lift weights and I'll accept you. And I'm like, how come I didn't have that in my hometown?
Right. We can talk about the things that you're having issues with and need help with.
I wish I had an accepted skateboard shop. The only thing I got in the skateboard / comic book shop in Teaneck, New Jersey was sexually harassed.
But yeah, I definitely, if you are, again, a person of color, queer, immigrant background, like to pretend your early 20s didn't exist, this is a game specifically for you.
You can heal your inner dumbass.
You can heal your inner dumbass.
That's the title of the show.
Yeah, it was really funny because one of the people I played Final Fantasy 14 with, because like I have told enough random comments for people to hone in and be like, when it comes to my early 20s and my late teens. And so one of them was just like, let me know when you play this game, because I have a feeling. And then I did, and I was just like, I'm being personally attacked right now.
Well, at least the you have to have a name that sounds like yours. Like,
I'm very Jayla, excited about that.
You're such
that.
A bad person. You just left us high and dry.
Yeah, no, a lot of I got hit more by the exes. The string of exes and those issues.
Yeah.
I got hit harder by that one.
I got very hit because the character has like their narrator, which is like a version of their sister that they made in their head because like they missed them. But it's like the worst. It's like the voice in your head that you're supposed to be ignoring because it's not positive.
Right. Also that part. I was also hit by that part.
That was, oh my God. That hit way harder than the disappointed mother.
Personally attacked.
Yes. That at one point when you're tackling that demon, I was like, I just need to take a minute.
Right.
I don't have the spoons for that.
I was not like I knew that it was your inner, like I knew immediately it was like your inner voice, and I knew why it took on, I got an idea, especially as the game went on, why it took on the form of the sister. But like the things that they were saying, I was just like, oh God.
Yeah, it's the stuff you say when you hate yourself.
It's the stuff you say when you hate yourself. I was like, yeah. Oh, please, no. I'm bipolar and unmedicated, and all my medication's fucked up right now. Please don't do this to me.
Yeah, I would say, like, get a journal before you play this game.
Actually, yeah. Get a journal. This game made me feel these things.
If you are being a dumb little bug, this game... probably not for you, because you will not be able to to maintain that. I guess if you're feeling too much, you could always do like a skateboard mission and just, you know,
that
skateboard.
I mean, so the reason I have 20 hours is because I would just go and do skateboard missions, and then also because arranged marriages are still kind of a thing. Jala's grandmother has been trying to hook up Jala with different suitors.
They're just randos.
They are randos. And it's really funny because like they're of all genders.
Yeah,
and
which so, I'm like
no, it's so great because when you meet one, some, like when you meet like an NB one or like a lesbian, they're like, your party is super progressive. And I was like, yeah. Oh no.
The super aggressive, regressive grandmother.
All of them are cornballs too. All of them. Absolute cornballs.
That part of the game really spoke to me as somebody who's like, I've been on the arranged marriage site that my parents did control the account of. Surprise, did not find somebody for me.
Oh no.
The stupid matrimony site, shoddy.com. Yes, I had it. Still have a shoddy.com account. Actually, no, I don't. They kicked me off because they found out I was a whore. But I did have one probably going back like 10 years ago. And my mom did meet one of the guys from there, and she's like, okay, yeah, this is a guy. And I was like, I guess I'm dating you now. And we dated for like a year. It was not good. it was a real bad time. But it was an experience very near and dear to my lived experience. So, which is not something I usually can say about a video game because I'm not a brown-haired, gruff white man. So I'm not usually the target audience of disappear into our narrative when it comes to video games.
Yeah, this particular studio is POC-led, and they're out of Seattle, and they specifically wanted to make a game that spoke to the immigrant experience, queer immigrant experience.
And boy, howdy did they do it.
Oh God, did they.
Are folks involved in the making of that game on Twitter?
Probably.
We should have them on the show. That's an idea.
We should also send them this episode. Yes. I don't know. Be professional.
Yeah, thanks for making me cry so hard.
Yeah, actually.
Thank you for like making me go, like, maybe I should call her. And then I was like, no, she doesn't want to talk to you. Like, if you can learn one thing from this game, it's not to bother your exes who already had to deal with your shit.
Oh, God.
All right.
I mean, that's the decision I made to Jalen. I still don't feel any better about it.
You know what I think?
Then my ex did follow me on TikTok, and I was like, it's a sign. But then I was like, don't bother her.
I did get a message from one of my exes through Twitter one day, and they were just like, you don't have to. They're like, you don't have to reply. But I also want to apologize for being a piece of shit X number of years ago. And I was like, I was not expecting.
That's cool. I should probably do that to several people, but I'm not gonna.
I thought about it.
I mean, if I could apologize with, with summons and a Final Fantasy style bottle, maybe I would. But like actually having those conversations, not in a million years.
Yeah, I decided on some of them that I was just like, they probably actually never want to hear from me again.
And that's fair.
That's valid. So I'm going to take this as a life learning lesson and learn my lessons and not bother them.
Yes. So this is a great game for people who really cried during like turning red.
I actually I want to show this episode. I actually might genuinely, because I feel like this was the intent. And I think they'd be happy to hear that they hit a perfect bullseye or two human beings who know each other in a podcast. You nailed it. At least for these two humans, you nailed it.
Three, because my brother now has a parental approval simulator.
Also four, because again, my friend, I have a brown trans lady friend who also was personally attacked by this game.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna split this into two parts. So this is part one, and we'll reconvene for part two.
We can get an interview.
Well, just in general, just the second, because this is a good conversation, and there's more to it. Y'all are not done, and this is interesting.
I mean, if they have DLC, I want to see.
Yeah, if they have DLC, like, I need to know. I need the cult resolution.
We'll return to this. I actually genuinely think so. Because, like I said, this is very funny. Like, this is the type of thing where I'm always telling people that the game experiences you want are just not where you think. And you have to kind of dig through. You have to put your hands in the dirt a little bit. But when you do nail it, it's perfect, even if it's making you weep openly in your parents' house.
I am saying that my next game experience that I want is coming out March 8th, though.
Unicorn Overlord.
Perfectly armored titties.
Those are really superb. I played the demo. I won't keep everyone because we will have to return to this. But it does have the perfectly armored set of titties, like just perfectly sitting in a way. They're sitting tiddly inside of an armored sweater. Perfectly. In a way that only an exquisitely talented pervert could draw perfectly proportioned armored titties. Tiddly.
I love Vanillaware and their art style. Like, Vanillaware's art is just absolutely.
I'm unfamiliar.
Vanillaware is a Japanese.
She knows Vanillaware. She knows Vanillaware. She doesn't know Unicorn Overlord. Specifically, because you know Odinsphere, you know, like Odinsphere and Dragon Crown, right, Angel?
Oh yeah,
yeah, you know.
Yeah, they made those games,
right?
Oh,
that art, that specific art style, like, is unique, is actually unique to Vanillaware. And there are, and if you see games that are using a similar art style, they're influenced by Vanillaware. Like, that art style is very specific and unique to Vanillaware, and the way they execute it is unlike anybody else. They're also perverts, clearly. And they also have like the best drawn animated food.
Yep.
God.
I think this
making me hungry.
I think it's
all of their games make me hungry.
It's the best art.
It's very hard to live in North Carolina and play beautifully rendered food games or watch anime with like delicious looking food because you can't.
That's just it. They're not food games. They just like food so much that they put in food mini games that have nothing to do with anything in all of their games.
We're hungry people. They know
they really love titties, food, and thigh meat. And honestly, same. But the artwork is absolutely gorgeous. It's probably it's my favorite thing about it. Also, the games are good.
Also, as someone who didn't like 13 Sentinels because the actual combat involved these rudimentary PlayStation 1 era triangles on this weird board, like, I don't know why this was in the game. It's a visual novel, but when you have to actually play the game and do like mech battles and a story about where it's involved, the end of the world, robots, stuff like that, you control these really low polygon triangles. I absolutely hated it. Didn't like it. The fact that Unicorn Overlord has a uniform art style from the overworld map to the combat sections to the story sections, and there's no moment where you're controlling a PlayStation 1 triangle and they're telling you that it's a robot and like do your fucking tri-missiles and your combat jump and your super stomp and pull out your laser sword and there's a little glitter comes off the top of it and then things explode. No. Its art style is so consistent that I am so pleased that I get to enjoy the art style beginning to end in all instances of the game. Like, you take it for granted until you play a game where the art style is cut off for chunks at a time to progress the story through combat, air quotes. So, absolutely, absolutely superb. But yeah, it comes out March 8th.
Yes, March 8th!
We're going to try and hook bacon up. But there'll be more on that later. But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening and have a pleasant day.